I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to John's first letter, 1 John chapter 3. If you don't have your Bibles, it's also printed in your bulletin. We will be looking at verses 10 through 18 briefly this evening. 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. As we always, we ask that you give careful attention to the reading of the Word of God, for it is indeed His Word. The Apostle John writes, "By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he has laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." Since the reading of God's word, let us go to Him in prayer briefly and ask Him to bless our time. Our Lord God in heaven, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that we can gather this evening as we reflect upon this commandment. And we ask that You, O Holy Spirit, would take Your word this evening and apply it to our hearts. Indeed, this is a very convicting passage, as is the entire first letter of John. We pray, O Holy Spirit, that it would impact our hearts, and that deep repentance would be needed where it needs be, and that we would seek to walk in faithfulness to the truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this evening we're going to spend just a few moments looking at this passage in 1 John. Now, if you're like me, the first time I heard of Maundy Thursday, I thought it was Monday Thursday. But then I learned a little bit and learned that the term Maundy actually comes from the Latin word for command in the Latin Vulgate of John 13, verse 34, mandatum. And it means command, and it's a reference to after Jesus washed the feet of the disciples as an example of sacrifice and service, that he gave the command for them to show love to one another. And he tells them to love one another just as he loved them. The Apostle John, who recorded, was there in the room and recorded that account for us in the Gospel of John, followed his Lord and Master in instructing the church in these matters. And we see that here in his first epistle. Now, there's debate, but most modern scholars today think that John's letters were written at the end of the first century. You put that in the somewhere in the 90s AD. Some of the early church fathers wrote that the Apostle John, right before the destruction of Jerusalem, actually left Jerusalem and he made his way into Ephesus, where he remained for some time. And 1 John would have been written in the late 90s. Again, that's debated, but would have been written to the surrounding churches in the region of Ephesus. And John is an old man, especially if we take the late date. John is an old man at this time, writing as an elder statesman, if you'd like, to the churches. And note, after all these years, he is still preaching the simple yet profound and convicting truth that we as brothers and sisters in the body of Christ are to love one another. Love one another like our Lord loved us. There are echoes of the words of Jesus Christ throughout this epistle, and our passage here is not any different. So, 2 points to note from this passage this evening, briefly. First, we will see that those who are regenerated by God, love the brethren. Second, those who do not love the brethren abide in death. But first, those who are regenerate love the brothers. Look with me in verse 10. We're gonna bounce around some of these verses here. But it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Verse 13, do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Verse 16, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. Then verse 18, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Now, John's first epistle contains many ways for us to test the genuineness of our faith. Indeed, it is a letter that helps us examine our walk in the Christian life. And we see here that one of those tests is the love that we have for one another. Note he says in verse 10 that one of the marks of being a child of God is that we have love. One of the marks that you are a child of God is that you love one another in the body. One of the marks of the Spirit, one of the ways in which we see the Spirit's work in us, in other words, is not how much you know about Christianity. It's not how much doctrine you can articulate, how much head knowledge of Christ you have. Now, those things are important. However, one of the defining marks that is emphasized constantly in the New Testament is that we know we have passed from death to life. We know that God has implanted new life in us by His Holy Spirit. If there is a supernatural love that we have for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And note in verse 16, John points to the epitome of true love for others. The one in whom we as followers of Christ are to imitate. Jesus Christ demonstrated love, the love we are to imitate, by laying down his life for others. Sacrifice. Often when the New Testament speaks of the love of God for his people, it's in the context of the cross. And as many of you know, the Roman cross was a very horrific thing. It was reserved for the worst offenders and the lowest of classes. Someone who was to be crucified knew that they were about to experience a brutal death. Pain beyond imagination. Yet Jesus knew that the physical pain that he was about to endure would not compare to the wrath of God he was about to endure for people like us. The judgment that he was about to endure in his body for every single believer in him. And he did it for his people, for us. He sacrificed himself on the cross out of the great love he has for his church. Thus, verse 16 here, what John says is truly a staggering statement if you think about it. Just as Jesus laid down his life for us, so we ought to be willing to lay down our life for others. Beloved, do you have the kind of love like that for other people? This is beyond the smiles and conversations that we have each Lord's Day. This is life on life. This kind of love requires us to put others before ourselves. Are you willing to put other people in the church before yourself? This command calls us to have a posture of self-sacrifice for other Christians. And note that this isn't just love for those fellow Christians who we think deserve it, or who our friends are, right? I mean, it's easy to say we love other Christians, the ones that are our friends, the ones that we can tolerate. Beloved, this includes the brothers and sisters that perhaps are less than tolerable. They present challenges. They may have difficult personalities. I always think if Jesus only sacrificed himself for those who are worthy. Imagine if Jesus only sacrificed himself for those that he could tolerate. Jesus sacrificed himself, beloved, for those that are unlovely. He sacrificed himself for those who were walking in darkness, those who hated him. And he bore their sin in his body. It's the mark of a true believer is that you live a life of sacrifice for your brothers and sisters. And this is a hard truth. I think if we're all honest with ourselves, it's a place where all of us need to grow in our sanctification. But it's a truth nonetheless. And we need to put this into practice in our lives. We see that those who have the Spirit demonstrated in their love for one another. Second, we see the characteristic of spiritual darkness is hatred for the brethren. Look with me in verse 12. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Whoever does not love abides in death. Verse 15, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Verse 17, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Now, John here contrasts love with hatred that is not characteristic of a Christian. He contrasts the way that we as believers are to imitate Christ with the example of Cain. And this is the only Old Testament reference, by the way, in John's epistle. And it's a perfect example of the contrast with love. The contrast of Christian love is selfishness and hatred. Cain did not murder his brother, if you think about this. He did not murder his brother in a vacuum. But the murder arose from the hatred and selfish motivation in Cain's heart. And this is perfectly consistent, by the way, with... And this is one of the places that we see the consistency and the emphasis of Jesus' teaching in John's writings. It's perfectly consistent with what Jesus said about the commandment not to murder. The commandment not to murder is not only violated by the act, it is violated within the heart. Anger and hatred of your brother is a violation of the commandment to not murder. We learn from the writer, the letter to the Hebrews, that it was by faith that Abel offered up his sacrifice. And presumably the reason why Cain's sacrifice was rejected was because he did not have faith. His heart was full of selfishness. It was full of anger and hatred. He was a murderer at heart, and he became a murderer by action. And note in verse 15 how John connects this action of Cain to his audience. He applies it to them, the New Testament Christian. Those who hate their brothers are murderers like Cain. And no murderer has eternal life. In other words, the one who harbors hatred in their heart, bitterness, anger, resentment, toward your fellow brothers and sisters in the Christian life, in the Christian faith, is characteristic of one's life that at the very least is living inconsistent with their faith. And at worst is not even a Christian. Beloved, if you harbor hatred in your heart for fellow Christians, fellow brothers and sisters in our local church, fellow brothers and sisters in the universal church, then you are living in a way, or you are living in the way of Cain. You are living in the way of Cain and his spiritual father, the devil himself. You are not walking in obedience and imitating the love of Jesus Christ. Now, how do we as Christians show sacrificial love to one another? Well, John gives us an example in this text. He gives us an example of what Christians are not to do. They do not ignore the needs of their brothers and sisters. Verse 17, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? According to the Apostle John, a professing Christian is acting contrary to his profession if he doesn't aid a fellow Christian in need. In fact, if a professing Christian sees a fellow believer struggling and in need of something and just ignores it, he pays no mind to it, he pretends it isn't there, then contextually what John is saying is that this professing Christian is showing hate to that brother and is actually murdering that brother in his heart, displaying a disregard for a fellow Christian. Now that's a hard truth. That's what the text says. Instead, what we ought to realize as Christians is that is in God's wise providence, He has ordained that some Christians are well off materially, well off financially, and other Christians are not. Some Christians have an abundance while others are poor. One Puritan commentator said this, quote, "It pleases God that some Christian brethren should be poor for the exercise of the charity and love of those that are rich. And it pleases the same God to give to some of the Christian brethren this world's goods that they may exercise their grace in communicating to the poor saints." And beloved, those of us who have more ought to love God and love our fellow Christians more than we love our things. That, John says, is an example of the sacrificial love that Jesus calls us to. Jesus called us to love one another as He loved us. That is a truth that is so well known and yet so profoundly difficult. Let me exhort you this evening to truly ponder it, to put it into practice. Sacrificial love requires just that, sacrifice. It doesn't come easy, but it is the fruit of the Spirit and a reflection, as John says, of a heart that has been changed by the living God. As you reflect upon the death of Christ this week, as you reflect upon that glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ on that first Lord's Day, remember the commandment that He gave to His disciples in that upper room. That you are to love one another as Jesus Christ loves you. As we pray to Him, let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your great love for us. We thank You for Jesus Christ, not only for His work on our behalf, but for the example of love that He left us. Help us be faithful in loving one another with sacrificial love. Mercifully grant that we may both follow His example, follow His patience, follow His mercy, follow His kindness, follow His sacrifice for your glory. Lord God, we pray this evening as well, as we reflect upon what happened this afternoon in our city, at the university. Lord God, we pray for those victims of this wicked evil. We pray for the victims' families that right now are suffering. And Lord, we long for ultimate justice. We long for that ultimate justice to come where you will right every wrong. Help us to rest in your mercy. Help us to rest in your grace. Help us as the church be the church and minister to those that we know that have been impacted by this horrible evil. May you open up opportunities for us to share the love of Jesus Christ to this hurting city. Bring comfort to the grieving families, we pray. And we ask all of these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.